Everyone knows the powers of stacking in fantasy football at this point. Simply put, you're betting on less outcomes, less things that can go wrong. If everything goes right with those two players, then it's a much easier path to a big score. These are the eight teams that I think you should be stacking in every draft this summer, whether it's Dynasty, Redraft, or whether it's Best Ball. Let's get into it. Start off with, this is the elite tier. You don't need me to tell you to draft these guys, but let's just quickly go over them. Jalen Hurts with AJ Brown, that's going to cost you a round three and a round one pick in best ball. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, the same cost. Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase. And then Patrick Mahomes and Kelsey, which is costing you a round one pick for Kelsey and a round two pick for Mahomes. These, you really don't need me to tell you that these are good stacks to have. But if you are drafting them, try and be mindful about how you can attack things with them. Because almost every draft you get into, you'll see the same people just loading up on these stacks because they're incredibly obvious and they feel very good to have on your roster. So look to differentiate, whether that's with a zero RB build or a hyper-fragile build where you're really leaning into fragility and saying everything has to go right here by only taking like four running backs. Make bold decisions as your draft goes on. When you get to the end, take swings on players who might have been drafted in every single draft. Just look to be different and be mindful with it. Next up in our first main stack, we've got Lamar Jackson and Rashad Bateman. Currently going with Jackson in round three and Bateman in round eight. And it's really hard to underestimate how big of an upgrade Todd Monken is going to be for these two. You look over the last few years, and injuries have really stopped us seeing Rashad Bateman's true upside. But remember when he was coming out, he was thought of as a true elite prospect. And there's every chance that he can get to that this year. The highs have been great. Like, he's at 1.95 yards per route run. But he's only run a route on 58% of plays when he was eligible, thanks to Greg Roman, who just loved to take his wide receivers off the field for no apparent reason. He would constantly shuffle players, even when they were playing in good form. And it was mind-boggling. Todd Monken is not going to do that. We're going to see wide receiver screens. We're going to see an offense that plays with pace. We're going to see, you know, a more advanced scheme than Greg Roman's wide receiver routes, which had players running into each other all the time. Rashad Bateman and Lamar Jackson, they've got that rapport already. They've brought in Zay Flowers, who is a really promising rookie and can win in the middle of the field and will do good things. And they've brought in Odell Beckham. But Bateman's been there already. We've seen him explode. We've seen him be great. And if he can stay healthy, he absolutely can have a monster year this year. What you're seeing there on screen is my stacking charts. If you go onto Twitter, at NFL_TStrack, I put these out regularly for Underdog. If you want them for any other format, you can jump into the Fantasy Sanctuary Discord and I'll put them all up there. Next stack, Trevor Lawrence, who's going in round six with Christian Kirk in round five. Yes, the Jaguars have brought in Calvin Ridley. Yes, they've re-signed Evan Ingram to a new deal. But Christian Kirk's role is completely secure in this. Zay Jones is going to be competing with Calvin Ridley for those kind of outside the numbers, snaps, and those downfield targets. But Christian Kirk, he plays pretty much exclusively out of the slot. Last year, he averaged 75% of his snaps there. He's going to see less sort of dedicated coverage than Calvin Ridley will, who and be stretching the field and going vertical. And we can really take advantage of seeing big volume numbers for Christian Kirk. Last year, he averaged 7.8 targets per game. But there's room to turn that into more fantasy production. He only had 4.9 catches per game. But he still managed to turn it into 8 top 24 performances in 2022. Lots of people are ready for the Jags to take another jump. You know, we can throw out Trevor Lawrence's rookie year. And quite often we see quarterbacks make a leap, not only into year two, but also into year three. If Lawrence makes another step forward this year, it could be incredibly explosive. And I want a player who's going to be on the field a lot, and that's Christian Kirk. When we look at the rest of how the Jags are stacked up, you can see that Calvin Ridley is going almost a round and a half ahead of Christian Kirk. So taking the cheaper of the two of them here feels really good, really easy to stack with Trevor Lawrence. Zay Jones going in the 11th round, it just feels like we're a year too late. The time for Zay Jones was last year when he was virtually free in drafts. Shout out to Josh Norris, who was pumping him up all season. Evan Ingram, again, I'm just not sure that paying a 9th round pick for him is fantastic. So give me the Trevor Lawrence and Christian Kirk stacks all day. If you are here for the first time, if you are just finding us, the Fantasy Sanctuary, we do Dynasty, we do Best Ball, we do Redraft, and we do DFS. Bring on some of the biggest names in the fantasy football industry to give you the content that's going to help you win your leagues. That's what we're about. hit the subscribe button. Let's keep going with these stacks, and we're going to keep getting cheaper as we go. Dolphins, Tua, Jalen Waddle. Tua's a round 8 pick. Jalen Waddle is a round 2 pick. Waddle's production, it's not that far off Tyreek Hill's, but we're getting a round discount on it because Tyreek Hill goes in the first round. You look back last year, Waddle was the PPR wide receiver 8. Tyreek was the wide receiver 2. But Waddle's 3.5 fantasy points per touch was third amongst all wide receivers with 50 or more targets, which shows how efficient he can be and how explosive he can be. And I really expect him to take another step forward. Waddle ranked second in receiving yards before contact with 4.9, and his 31.0 yards after the catch per game ranked 9th highest among wide receivers. He's an incredible player, and getting him at a slight discount compared to Tyreek Hill is something that I'm always going to be in on. You can see how the Dolphins stack up there. Without Mike Gesicki, it gets real thin at tight end with Durham Smythe, who's practically free. I don't mind adding him onto stacks at the end. Cedric Wilson is the third wide receiver by ADP, but there's also Braxton Berrios. After Tyreek and Jalen Waddle, it's not too interesting. This really feels like two wide receivers in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle who could have 50% target shares each this season. Moving on, the Chargers, Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen. Herbert going in round 5, Keenan Allen going in round 3. Another team who are going to have a huge upgrade with the offensive coordinator shift this year. Joe Lombardi's gone. Kellen Moore has come over from the Cowboys. And one of the reasons why Kellen Moore came over was because he wanted to find an offense that wanted to pass the ball more. He wanted to be more up-tempo than Mike McCarthy did. And he really wanted to just cut loose like that. And that's absolutely what the Chargers need. Last year, Justin Herbert struggled through a rib injury, and he rarely had all his wide receivers on the field at the same time. And it was week 14 before Keenan Allen and Mike Williams played a full game together. The combination of that with the rib injury saw Justin Herbert just regress to just dumping the ball offshore, and he had a really low average depth of target, 6.4 yards, which was right near the bottom of the league. When Mike Williams and Keenan Allen were both out there, that jumped up to a league average 7.4. So this year, when he's not dealing with a rib injury and he's got three wide receivers with the addition of Quentin Johnston, that can really just push on further. Every year that Kellen Moore was the offensive coordinator of the Cowboys, Dak Prescott's yards per average depth of target was over 8. When Keenan Allen did come back, he was a target hog. Like, he was the PPR wide receiver 7 from week 11 to the end of the season, averaging 10.3 targets per game, which was tied for the 4th most amongst all wide receivers at that point. Mike Williams is going to have to compete with Quentin Johnston for those downfield, high-value targets. But Keenan Allen's role in the slot feels absolutely secure, and we should definitely be buying into it this year. This is how the Chargers stack up. You can see there Keenan Allen in that 3rd round and Mike Williams going after him in the 4th. And I don't mind the Chargers mega stack. This is an offense I want as many pieces of as possible in all my best ball drafts this summer. Quentin Johnston going in the 7th might be slightly high for a rookie wide receiver, but for all the reasons I've already talked about, I don't hate it. And Gerald Everett in the 13th round looks incredibly undervalued, so just wheels up on the Chargers. Isaiah Spiller doesn't even have an ADP at the minute. If you want to get a bit different at the end of drafts, that's one way to do things. Moving on to the San Francisco 49ers, Brock Purdy's on track to be the week 1 starter. There's no use crying about it these days. If you're a Trey Lance fan like me, you just got to get on board. Unless he has like a Nick Foles fall from grace, you've just got to get on with it. And Brock Purdy, he's going in round 15. When he does get declared healthy, I'd expect that to rise up to about round 13. Pairing him with Deebo Samuel in round 3 is absolutely one of my favorite stacks right now. Deebo, when he was healthy and all the options were out there, he seemed to be Purdy's number one choice. In those limited games that he played, including in the playoffs, Deebo led the team with a 30% target share. CMC was at 23%, Brandon Ayuk 19%, and George Kittle 13%. Deebo, he was averaging 8 touches per game before Christian McCaffrey got there. And then after Christian McCaffrey got there, it only dropped to 7.8. It really didn't affect him that much. Deebo was second in the NFL last year in design targets, which is referring to like screen passes or jet sweeps. He had 27, which only trailed Chris Godwin. The team know how to get the best out of Deebo Samuel. They know they need to use him because he's the kind of weapon who can absolutely break out at any play on the field. Last year, the contract negotiations seemed to affect his offseason prep, and perhaps that affected him more than we really know. But This year, we're getting Debo at a discount, almost at like a round and a half compared to last year. And when Brock Purdy's healthy, we are going to see Brock Purdy's ADP jump. You can see how the rest of the Niners stack up here on my stacking charts. Brock Purdy, that 15th round. Debo in the third. Ayuk in the fifth. Juwan Jennings is the wide receiver three, going practically free at the end of drafts. George Kittle in the sixth. Christian McCaffrey, 104. Elijah Mitchell in the 11th round. Out of those, I don't hate adding Brandon Ayuk, but I do think his upside is a little less limited because Purdy's deep shot doesn't seem to quite be as good as we might hope. George Kittle, for me, is the odd man out here. I'm fading George Kittle in all my drafts. His touchdown rate last year was unsustainable, far higher than we've ever seen him normally have. And if I have to bet on someone, it's going to be Christian McCaffrey or it's going to be Debo Samuel. The New York Giants, Daniel Jones round 10, Darren Waller round 7. My God, the Giants needed to get Daniel Jones a pass catcher. Like, you look back last year, and it was Daniel Bellinger, who had an okay rookie season, but then he got injured and he didn't look incredible. You had Isaiah Hodgins, Richie James, Darius Slayton out there catching passes in playoff games. They needed to get someone, and Brian Daboll absolutely has done the right thing, going out, trading the 100th pick overall in this year's draft to get Darren Waller, who seemed to be out of favor in Las Vegas. They've got all these little small slot receivers who they've added, which can be good for Daniel Jones. We've seen him pepper players like Wandale Robinson and Sterling Shepard with targets over the last few years. But getting him a big, big pass catcher who can play outside, who can play on the boundary, who can play up the seam, who can play in line as well as a tight end, that's what they needed to do. Last year, their red zone success rate jumped from 44%, which was the league's worst, up to 60%, which was the fifth best. And now you're going to put Darren Waller into the mix, somebody who can really go and make plays in the red zone. I'm all aboard this one. I think, you know, Darren Waller, he's averaged 7.5 targets per game over the last 4 years. Even last year, when things didn't seem to be working perfectly in Las Vegas, he still averaged over 5 targets per game. If I can get a tight end who's averaging 5 targets per game in round 7, stacking with a quarterback with rushing upside, I'm all over that. We've got one more stack we're going to get to here. If you haven't already, hit the like button. Tell me which of these you do like. But before we do, here's how the rest of the Giants shake out. You can see that Darren Waller is the only pass catcher in the top 10 rounds for the Giants, even in like the top 15 rounds. Saquon Barkley, after the news that he's going to have to play on the franchise tag, don't be surprised if we see a bit of slippage into round 3 if he decides that he's not going to turn up for all the training camp. But Darius Slayton, Isaiah Hodgins, Wandale Robinson, Jalen Hyatt, who's being undrafted now, Paris Campbell, you can add any of them on to this. And if you really believe the Giants can go nuclear this year, don't be afraid to add two of them on that were stacked with Darren Waller and Daniel Jones. Our last stack of this video, Russell Wilson, Jerry Jeudy, Russ going in round 12, Jerry Jeudy going in round 4. And it all comes back to the glimmers of hope that we saw towards the end of last season. You know, after Nathaniel Hackett was fired, we saw Russ have 2 top 5 weekly finishes in the space of 3 weeks. So we saw that he could do things and be the old Russell Wilson again. Jerry Jeudy, over the back half of last season, between weeks 10 to 18, he was the wide receiver 12. He was absolutely on fire. He was, putting up 2.7 fantasy points per touch, which was the same rate as Justin Jefferson during that period. But the big difference was Jerry Jeudy just didn't get the kind of volume that Justin Jefferson was, so he had to be efficient, and the Broncos weren't able to stay on the field. This year, under Sean Payton, they absolutely can. So, you know, we saw Jerry Jeudy scoring 17.4 points per game last year. That ceiling absolutely feels in his range of outcomes now that Sean Payton's there. His first moves were to upgrade the offensive line. He put loads of resources into it in free agency and the draft. That can calm down Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson needs to be coached properly. He needs to be kept in the pocket. He needs to be taught these are the plays. You need to get the ball out and on time. You're not changing them to these old plays and the things he used to do with the Seahawks. This is the Sean Payton show, and he's going to just coach him efficiently. And if he can do that, and if he can let his ego be coached, then I absolutely believe that Russell Wilson and Jerry Jeudy could be one of the best stacks this year in best ball. That's all we've got this week. We've got loads more redraft content, loads more best ball content, loads more dynasty DFS content. Hit the subscribe button. leave me a comment. Tell me which stack you find yourself just getting loads of exposure to, whether it's Redraft, Dynasty, Best Ball. If you want more Fantasy Sanctuary content, hit the join button. You can jump in our Discord from 99 pence or $1.25 a month. There, I've got these stacking charts that I've gone through, and you can see the Broncos one here on screen now. And I do them for DraftKings, FFPC, Sleeper, ESPN, Yahoo, NFL, wherever you're playing fantasy. I put these stacking charts together so you can see each team nice and succinctly. We've got loads more resources in there. Over 100 people talking trades, league startups, best ball drafts all the time. We're going to be back real soon. Catch you later.